Let's talk business with Barbados Chamber of Commerce and Industry, BCCI. Welcome as we hear the perspectives of various subject matter experts and stay up to date on the challenges and solutions around emerging and current trends in business, policies, trade, and more. Let's talk business, brought to you by the Barbados Public Workers Cooperative Credit Union Limited.
Welcome to Let's Talk Business with the BCCI. I am Michelle Spencer. In today's digital world, cybersecurity is not just a technical issue. It's a major concern with profound effects on businesses and the global economy. Cyber threats, including data breaches, ransomware, and phishing attacks, are constantly evolving and can affect organizations of any size. For businesses, the stakes are high. Financial losses, reputational damage, and regulatory penalties can arise from a single breach. According to recent studies, cybercrime costs the global economy trillions of dollars annually, threatening growth and stability. The impacts extend beyond just financial loss, critical infrastructure that we'll touch on today, customer trust, and intellectual property are all at risk, potentially crippling business operations and affecting market confidence. As organizations and governments shift more operations online, robust cybersecurity strategies are essential for economic resilience. Understanding these risks is crucial, not just for IT departments, but for business leaders and policymakers, as effective cybersecurity measures are now a cornerstone of sustainable economic growth and business continuity. Today, to discuss cybersecurity, impact, and risk on businesses and the economy, we have Carlisle Roberts, who's the chair of the BCCI Digital Societies Committee, Dennis Augustine, founder of the DX Alliance and member of the BCCI Digital Societies Committee, and James Bino, regional cybersecurity activist and founder of Blue Waters Technology Group based in the Netherlands. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thank you, Michelle.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Let's start with why cybersecurity is so important.
Perhaps I'll jump in. Go ahead, Dennis. You can start.
Oh, well, thank you, Chair. I think, you know, one of the first things that comes to mind is, you know, why is a front door important on your house? Why are locks important? They make you feel safer. They make you actually safer. It is the foundation of trust as well in this new digital world. So I think it everything from being actually safer to really making sure that we communicate that we are a safe jurisdiction, a safe country, or that our businesses are safe to do business with. These are really the foundations of what civil society is built upon. That sort of trust and peace and stability and cyber is just a really important frontier on that front.
What I'll add to that as well is that, you know, as we enter into a period, well, not even enter, we are in a period where a lot more things are either online or we have what we call digital transformation. So a lot more of businesses' information, their processes, their systems are digital. And so not only are they more reliant on digital services, but now cyber is where a lot of things are happening for businesses and for even individuals as well. So the protection of sensitive data then becomes extremely important, and increasingly so the more information that we start putting online and the more information that we start accessing online. So we need to be able to safeguard person's data and their information. We need to be able to safeguard the way of doing business. And we have to safeguard business continuity, because businesses, you know, as they do what they do online or they do what they do in the digital sphere, it means that they can now be vulnerable to attacks. Dennis gave the example of the front door. You know, you don't want to leave your front door unmanned or unlocked, in a sense. And basically, when you what cybersecurity or the risk or threat of cybersecurity does, it's almost like leaving your way of doing business, your front door, unmanned, unlocked, and insecure. You know, so that's kind of why it's important.
Yeah, if I can add on to that, if I take a different perspective, as we look to expand opportunities in the digital sphere within the Caribbean, we have to understand that globally, there's a surge in making sure that we can be proper custodians of information wherever it's stored. Mm-hmm. So there's a growing global demand, and there's a growing regulatory demand that we need to be able to prove to the world that we can be safe custodians of our visitors, safe custodians of our citizens. So the world is evolving, and we have to evolve with it. And then the last thing I would say is that the Caribbean has to understand that the cyber criminal community views the Caribbean region as a soft target. Right. Because they know we are slow to update and evolve. So we have to be able to change that paradigm over time, as I said, to make sure that we can be viable in the future digital world that's actually being created right now.
Yeah, I think James, what James has said about being a custodian, I think it's really got to be emphasized. You know, if you were providing food products, you know, the safety of the food that you provide to your customers is paramount for you being a responsible business owner. And we have to so much of the way we deal with our customers, our citizens, our constituents today is digital. And so that it's a duty of care that we have, and that duty of care also comes with real in many cases. Now we have to do better. I'm sure James will get to this as well. We have to do better in terms of enforcement and the practical day-to-day steps of enforcing the very good laws that we have on the books. But there are other jurisdictions that Bajan business are exposed to today. In Europe, you know, if you're dealing with European citizens' data, you're currently exposed to the risk of that is imposed by GDPR. If you're working with in the U.S., there's all kinds of state-by-state laws that expose you to risk. So I think that business leaders, just like you would go and get your insurance, because we're in a hurricane-prone zone, just like you would talk to your lawyers about your contracts to make sure that your risk is covered there. It's business 101 to make sure that you have covered that important risk element and that you're staying up to it, that very important duty of care that you have as a business owner to your customers, to your employees, to those people who are paying you.
Now, most Barbadians are most likely aware that there was a recent breach at the Barbados Revenue Authority. So can you share an overview of that incident and the possible implications?
Well, maybe I'll start. First of all, this is an ongoing, based on what's been publicly reported, this is an ongoing issue. It's still being investigated. And I would expect that at some point the government will provide more detail as required on what exactly occurred. So I think we should let the investigation continue without starting to speculate on what could have occurred. I think there are some components of it, though, that we can highlight. Number one, the fact that the governor of Barbados leveraged the Data Privacy Act and are really complying with it in terms of notification, I think should be called out. It was a good thing to notify the public that something had occurred and that it was currently under investigation. I think the other thing it highlighted was that there was a process in place for responding to such incidents. So I think that we let the investigation continue. But I think from an initial set of actions, starting off with making sure you have a good incident response procedure in place, which they clearly had, notifying the community and citizens in line with the Data Privacy Act, I saw as two great starts. Now, there's a lot more to come on this, but I think we wait and see how it hashes out.
Yeah, so I think I'll echo that there's, these things are complex. If you can imagine how difficult it would be to figure out a physical breach of your business, that's going to take some investigation. And you can imagine that it's so much easier to cover your trails when the trail is digital. It's a very complicated thing that takes a while to unpack. I remember there was a breach of the IRS in the U.S. a few years back. And that information right now, I mean, they're still slowly notifying people of, you know, whether their information had been compromised. This is something that they're still unpacking today. But I'll also say that, to James's point, that that will encourage and hope for continued transparency. And as information comes out there, you certainly don't want to shout fire in the theater, so to speak, when you have such, you know, sensitive data out there. So it behooves the government to be accurate in what they release. The threat actors will want to sensationalize and to make things seem even worse than they are, because that's how they extract things like ransoms and strike fear in people's minds. But it's us as the victims of this crime. And I think that's one thing we have to, again, emphasize, that it is our nation that has become the victim of a crime right now.
Yeah.
And so it's we have to respond as a nation transparently with each other. And the first thing that you want to do is to come together and to deal with it, you know, transparently as family. That has to be our first attitude. But it takes a while. Patience is required.
And I think, Dennis, with that tone, which I like, we just view this as a call to action. Yet another, unfortunately, right? Mm-hmm. You know, technology is not going to wait for us, right? So we have to be able to start moving cyber and data security up the list. We have to start to invest in it, fund it, and make sure that our ICT teams have the right resources at the right level to combat it effectively, right? So perfection is not the goal. So more to come on this, but I think, as Dennis said, you know, approach it holistically.
Someone mentioned a little bit earlier the word soft target. Can we get a little bit more of your perspective on the current state of cybersecurity in Barbados and the Caribbean?
Yes. Well, I think, go ahead, James.
I was going to define soft target.
Yeah.
Well, in short, a soft target to a cyber criminal or hacker is a target that's easy to compromise, right? A target that is full of all the weaknesses and vulnerabilities that would basically take them no time at all to execute, to gain access to your system and conduct a wide range of malicious activities. And cyber criminals and hackers can identify soft targets for a country like Barbados or Jamaica. We're pretty small, pretty quickly, right? And they do it via a wide range of mechanisms. So, you know, and I'll just mention a few unpatched systems, you know, weak passwords, you know, unpatched devices as well, not just laptops, but devices, poorly configured firewalls. So there's a list of things that would make for a soft target. I think to the average person at home, the average business user, it would be how often you patch your systems. Are you running an antivirus on your system? Folks that are not doing these things are considered soft targets.
That's good. And I think, you know, in your earlier question, you asked about implications of the attack on BRA, and it's the same implication for a data breach at any organization. And part of that has to do with the risk of what can happen if data, especially personal data, or, you know, data that can be used maliciously, is obtained, you know. And the Caribbean, people often think that, oh, because they're so small or because it seems insignificant, then nobody's going to target us. But that couldn't be further from the truth. Once we're all online, you know, I think hackers and people with malicious intent are equal opportunity seekers. So they won't look past us or over us because we're small, right? But the Caribbean's cybersecurity landscape does have gaps, and we know this. There are gaps in resilience. There are gaps that we have in preparedness, and obviously I'm being broad brush here, because there will be some that are better than others. But by and large, there was a study done by PwC on digital readiness earlier this year. And, you know, they interviewed a number of CEOs and CX level executives. And at least 55% of them, if I'm not mistaken, said that they did not believe that their organization was cybersecurity ready. So they were admitting that, listen, we're not up to scratch in where we should be in protecting our business from cyber threats, even though we know that cyber threats can not only destabilize companies, but it can erode trust, et cetera. But we're not ready. You know, and that's kind of the feeling and the brand that we get, even from the leaders of organizations across the region. You know, so our readiness, as James said, this should be a call to action for us.
Yeah, if I could add on something real quick, the average number of days that it takes to find an internal hacker or malicious actor is over 200 days, and I would suspect that there are many organizations, unfortunately, large and small, all across the Caribbean that are compromised today. Now, they are compromised, and very often those 200 days are used to watch behaviors, see when you do wire transfers, and basically get an understanding of where the jewels of the kingdom are within your particular organization. So I think that, you know, while you know, the bra event might be making front news, right? Every small business, medium to large size business across the Caribbean needs to really start thinking like they're already compromised. Yeah. And again, to be able to stay within an organization for a long period of time has lots of advantages, right? In terms of harvesting of data to be sold on the dark web. I think, that the implications are can be vast, and can lead to other crimes, especially when we lose our data, like identity theft, and the like.
So then how can persons take practical steps, or rather businesses, what practical steps can they take to mitigate these risks?
Well, there's going back a little, tie a little bit of those practical steps into some of the soft target prevention things that James mentioned. I mean, yes, strong passwords and so forth, that very important. I was really shocked recently when I watched a penetration test done of an organization we were servicing. And it's remarkable how many of our passwords that you might, for example, every time, you know, you go to a website and Chrome asks you, do you want to save the password in your browser right there? Well, there's a really great way. That's a really great way to get your browser, your passwords into a format that bad actors, just by sending you to the wrong website, can then extract that information. So saving your passwords in your browser can be something that can leave that open to being hacked. Using something like a password vault is a great way to put a lock on that door. So use an application like a password vault, great way to deal with that. These are some of the very basic things. But, you know, when I was, I went on vacation with my wife a little while back for our anniversary, and the place where we were renting, it was one of two places within our complex that did not have a security camera on the front door. While we were gone, it was broken into. And the only places that they touched were the two places that did not have a security camera on the front door, the places that were not doing the monitoring to see when, you know, they might be compromised. So doing this, contact a security professional. James and others within the DX Alliance network do things like managed security services, penetration tests, put in, firewalls and things to detect when you've been compromised. And like he mentioned, so many of the businesses here might be compromised right now, and the bad actors are just sitting low. So get a consultant in to have, you know, to secure that front door, so to speak, to put that security camera in air quotes in your business, so that you'll know. These are some of the basic things that you can start doing today.
Yeah. And if I could add to that, and I'll be brief, because Ben has just mentioned quite a few, so I don't want to do any overlap, but I think in order of priority, which I think is, you know, have a plan, right? Have an incident response plan. Whether your business is two people or three people, if your company's data gets compromised, what are you going to do, right? So start thinking about a plan. Two, if you're a medium to large business, you need to have a security leader within the organization. The ICT guy can't do it all anymore. Those days are over. As Dennis said earlier, it's too complex. It's too fast moving to expect that the ICT manager is also going to be the CISO. He's also going to be the security engineer. He's also going to be the data private. That can't happen. That's a prescription for disaster. Third thing would be to limit access to sensitive information. Everybody in the organization does not need to see the same stuff, right? Sure. So we go into, Dennis, as you said, you know, when we do assessments after a breach, that's one of the things we always find: too much access to people that don't have a need to know. So limit access to that. A practical thing Dennis mentioned, but I'll go a little further. If you have a password that's less than 10 characters, it can be cracked within seconds, right? So we really need to start using more complex passwords, longer passwords, and in some cases, even passphrases. I'm sorry to say. Yeah. You need, hackers like to break into the easy places. They're not going to waste time trying to break your password if they have, you know, 10,000 targets, right? So let's make it hard for them. Another simple thing is when you see that update, should I apply the updates on your phones and on your laptop? Yes. And you're busy doing this and you put it off every time you click to do it the next day because you're so busy, you're putting yourself at more risk. Apply your patches, apply your updates. And for those that manage networks where there are multiple people, same thing applies. Make sure systems are patched. The irony in this conversation to some degree is that a lot of the fixes to protect ourselves are free.
Yes.
We just don't apply them. Right. There's no charge for Patch Tuesday when Microsoft puts out their patches. So, I mean, those are some of the practical things. And the last thing I would say is 2FA, multi-factor authentication, if you're a business. It is no longer a luxury. It's a must. Right. As we work from home, we're more remote. We fully have not gone back to the full office 5 days a week thing. So being able to authenticate people that are accessing your network, more authentication is really important.
How does the weak cybersecurity in our businesses affect investor confidence?
Well, you know, investor confidence, and I'm going to assume that we're talking about not just local, but, you know, international investment in our nation, in our economy, in our businesses.
Yeah.
And if you look at what investors are looking for, they're looking for stability in different things, because you want to know that what you're investing in, one, it has some ability to last. It has some ability to grow and be stable. And so some of the things that they look at when you think about it is they look at political stability where you are, some form of economic stability. You know, they look at education within the country, et cetera. So these are things that say to an investor, okay, this country, this nation, this place of business is worth investing in because there's a level of stability and because the ongoing operation is more likely to continue and possibly grow. Now, what happens when we expose ourselves and open up ourselves to these cybersecurity threats and we don't have plans in place? We don't mitigate against all the risks that we can. We don't ensure that we are keeping up with the threats that are out there. It says that we are unstable. It says that we are at risk of lacking continuity, business continuity, digital services continuity. And so it then starts to threaten our value for investment. It starts to make us look like a weaker option if there are options. And there are always options where investors, you know, they can invest in one area, in one place or in another. And then it starts to erode the value that we have for investor confidence. So it then heightens the importance of why we need to ensure that we are both proactive and that we're taking measures to show that we have things in place and we're mitigating against as much risk as possible to ensure that investors can have confidence in investing in our nations and in our businesses. Yeah.
You know, yeah, I think this is some investors, in particularly larger institutions, or if you are a consulting firm, I know, like actually my previous business, Konobos, when we were doing enterprise software consulting, we sometimes could not, you you have in your contracts that, you know, all of my providers will meet a certain security level. So I cannot go and then invest sometimes in areas or to hire certain contractors who do not meet a security level that my contracts with my customers require that I do. So if, you know, if somebody's a company is in the in Europe and you're not a destination that will support the sorts of privacy and security rules that they need to comply with, you don't become a destination for them to invest in. But I'll say that that's the negative side of it. But there's also a really other side, a flip side of this opportunity that we have here in the Caribbean. We've already cited that PwC survey that a lot of countries and jurisdictions are doing poorly with regards to cybersecurity. Well, why don't we become one of the few who's doing well and then become a destination for services because of how well we're doing? I think we need to see this as an opportunity. We've been talking about things like call centers here in Barbados and throughout the region. Well, we have an opportunity right now to service the North American market with managed security services. Companies like Protexa and those who are training people through the Student Revolving Loan Fund and the cybersecurity training are trying to create a workforce here that can service North American customers. This is an emerging opportunity for the Caribbean, and we need to see it not just as a threat, but as an opportunity right now for us to do better.
Well, I'm glad that you've turned that around to the positive. So what initiatives are the BCCI, would the BCCI be undertaking to support businesses in adopting the best practices for cybersecurity?
I think in the BCCI, what we want to do is ensure that we prepare not just private sector organizations that we represent, but also public sector at large as well. And we do this through a few means. One of the things that we are doing is that we have a conference, an annual conference, our digital society is putting on. In fact, that happens on November 22nd of next month, you know, and so in that conference, we're going to ensure that there is a wealth of information that we are giving to the participants on digital transformation, artificial intelligence, and of course, how we protect ourselves against threats and risks that come along with these new opportunities that we want to talk about. Outside of that, we also have seminars. We have webinars that we will have from time to time. In addition, just a while ago, we did a minimal business sort of advisory in terms of saying these are the minimal standards that we believe each business should have in order to prepare itself for the digital age. And one of those things is ensuring that you have cybersecurity threats mitigated by doing a certain set of things. So having a standard for how you do business. And so we want to keep businesses in Barbados informed as much as possible about the threats out there, as well as the opportunities, but the risks that come along with these opportunities. You know, so those are just some of the things that we're doing as a society, as an organization to make sure that people stay abreast of what's going on.
Can I add something here? You know, not directly what BCCI is doing, but I wanted to make the point that there's a lot of good local talent across the region.
Oh, yes.
Right. And so we also have to be able to build and cultivate cybersecurity and data privacy talent across the region. Right. So I think that and the only way we do that is by creating opportunities for growth, jobs for young university students who want to get into technology and data and cybersecurity, and really stop this going abroad every time for expertise that's sitting right around the corner in many cases, right? So I think that there needs to be a deliberate effort to seek out those in Barbados and the other islands in CARICOM, that can help us regionally, both in the public and private sector, you know, confront this regional challenge.
I want to jump into James's Amen Corner on this one, because I've been over the last couple of years, and I spent most of my professional career, I was born in Dominica, but I spent most of my professional career in Canada, going through the corporate ladder there in Toronto. And I have to say that over the last couple of years, since I've been focused on this region, I've met some digital professionals, including security professionals in throughout the region, who are twice as good as somebody mediocre in San Francisco or Toronto, cost half as much, and are just excellent. And so we have to disabuse ourselves of this continuing notion that we don't have the talent that we need here. We do. And to James's point, whenever we continuously have the attitude that we have to go outside for help, we perpetuate the leaky bucket that prevents us from doing better when we could be turning it into something, a positive feedback loop for ourselves. So that is 100% what we need to understand. There's hundreds of years of history that tell us that we're consumers and not producers of these sorts of solutions. We need internet connections. Check. We have those. We need bright minds. We have those in abundance. So I think it's about time that we start to do better and compete on this front ourselves, for sure. Amen on that, James. Mm-hmm. Oh, one thing, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention it. And I'm going to shout out all of the security SOC analysts here, because today is the month is Cybersecurity Awareness Month, and SOC Analyst Appreciation Day is today. And so, if you have a SOC analyst here in the Caribbean, shout them out, elevate them. Those of you in your businesses, show your security people some love. If you don't have one, go find one, show them some love. And let's try to make that a priority this month. I'm glad that we're doing this show this month. It's appropriate.
Yeah.
Well, I think
I want to use, if I can use your plug, Dennis, to plug the ICT managers that are out there. Right. Because, I think that as it relates to this particular challenge, they're the front lines. Right. Yeah. So I think the ICT challenge managers across the region need more support from their executive leadership. Right. I want to give that plug right now for the community. These are the guys and gals who help us really move the needle in these key areas.
Well, gentlemen, I think that we barely scratched the surface here in this half an hour. Honestly, it sounds as if there's so much more that needs to be said, but perhaps we will be able to get to that in another program. At this point, though, you've been listening to Let's Talk Business with the BCCI as we discussed cybersecurity, impact and risk on businesses and the economy. And our guests were Carlisle Roberts, Chair of the BCCI Digital Societies Committee, Dennis Augustine, founder of the DX Alliance and member of the BCCI Digital Societies Committee, and James Bino, Regional Cybersecurity Activist and founder of Blue Waters Technology Group based in the Netherlands. I say thank you so much, gentlemen, and we're sending the love to you as we celebrate this month, and we thank you for all the hard work that you do. I'm Michelle Spencer. On behalf of the BCCI, I wish you a good afternoon.
That's it for another edition of Let's Talk Business with Barbados Chamber of Commerce and Industry, BCCI. Join us again next time as we hear the perspectives of various subject matter experts and stay up to date on the challenges and solutions around emerging and current trends in business, policies, trade, and more. Let's Talk Business, brought to you by the Barbados Public Workers Cooperative Credit Union Limited.